You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, the Todd Allbus Show from 2 to 4 p.m. around 3:30. Todd's going to speak with small business owners Matt Rabian and Corrine Hendrickson. They both belong to Main Street Alliance. There's going to be an event at Bricks Cider this evening, and they're talking about the need for child care investments in the upcoming state budget here in Wisconsin.
And Corrine will be on the show this week as well.
She is. She's going to be here tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Well,
yes,
wow.
Tomorrow, Wednesday. Corrine Hendrickson will be there. We've spoken to her many times before about what a precarious situation our child care is in.
Oh, my gosh. And listening to her talk, like a lot of people who work in their respective industries, they present solutions that where you say, that seems pretty easy and simple. Why can't we do it? Then you think, oh, that's why we can't do it. I look east to Washington.
Look east to Washington, yes. Coming up a little bit in later this hour, we're going to talk about Real ID kicks in tomorrow, my friends. If you do not have that little star on your driver's license, you are not going to be able to fly domestically.
Or get into federal buildings.
Right. And I don't want you to be unpleasantly surprised when you show up at the airport next month to take your summer vacation with your kids and you can't get on the plane because you don't have real ID. This has been in the works for decades.
Yes.
Decades.
Yes.
And overall, from the numbers I've seen, Wisconsinites are doing pretty good.
Good.
As far as getting that new real ID. But if you haven't yet and you plan to do some traveling domestically, you're going to need it. So we'll talk about that as well. Wanted to start off with this, though, and Calvin and I have talked about this off the air, just about crypto and meme coins and all of that stuff. And I am very twitchy about crypto. It just seems like a massive scam to me. It does.
It's more, I don't want to call this, well, I would say, the overall does not look good. The more popular, I guess the most popular is Bitcoin, which a lot of people trade in and nowadays is the most quote-unquote stable, but it just feels more volatile than the stock market itself. And when you said you and Calvin have talked about this stuff, I'm like, yeah, because whenever you start talking about it, I walk away going, I don't understand Bitcoin.
Well, but Calvin, it seems to me like people your age, you know, the later 20s, early 30s, and even into mid to late 30s, those are the people who are really into this. It's old people like me who are like, yeah, no, I don't think so. But do you know a lot of people, Calvin, who do Bitcoin or meme coins and stuff like that?
I don't. I think even though it is mostly people my age, I still think it's a minority of people who are participating in it. I sort of have a base understanding of what it is, and it still ultimately seems like a way to launder money.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the big thing.
So are meme coins.
I actually, you know what, I'll be honest, I don't even know what a meme coin is. Like, I know what Bitcoin is. I know what crypto is, as Calvin just put it, the basic understanding. But as soon as I say a decentralized bank with blockchain, I'm like, that just sounds like my money can get lost as well as found. But yeah, inform me. What is a meme coin?
Well, Melania Trump had a meme coin.
Enough said. I don't want anything to do with this.
And I believe when it first went on sale, it was more than $1,000.
Oh, my God.
And now it's worth about $320. But that didn't affect her profit.
No.
She still cashed in. It's the people who bought the coins. As the value continues to go down and down and down, they're the losers. Suckers and
this,
losers.
This reminds me of, what were those? Someone remind me, you or Calvin remind me, a couple of years ago, And they still do it now, but they're not like, it was like a picture you could buy.
An NFT.
Yes. It reminds me of the NFT market where it was all the rage and people were selling NFTs for like $100,000, a thing you didn't own.
Right. And couldn't touch.
Couldn't touch, but you had it and its value fluctuated based on its popularity and demand. Well, that fluctuation went down right quick. I don't understand why meme coin is any different than this.
Absolutely. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation and educate us about crypto and meme coins, yes, please feel free. This Chris Murphy is a lawmaker. And he has come out with some new legislation that would kind of crack down on this. When you consider, this is from CNBC, Trump set to raise millions from crypto and meme coin this month. Donald Trump hosting a crypto and AI investors dinner, innovators dinner. It costs $1.5 million per plate. The May 22nd events at one of Trump's golf courses, of course, requires that you own Trump meme coins. And then you got to shell out $1.5 million to actually get in. But no, this is perfectly fine. It's not grifting at all.
This is ridiculous.
Just fine.
Can we just put this on the shelf next to Don Jr.'s private club that costs $500,000 to join? I mean, this is...
it's right out there.
You know what the depressing part is, Jane? Is that this just seems like waste and fraud to me.
It does.
And I know in my heart of hearts that lawmakers, after this is all said and done, will do nothing to prosecute it. Because it's just better to be like, let's just get it out of the way. Let's forget about
it. It was bad.
We need to
move on.
No, but these are people who are grifting and taking advantage. And I'm going to pile in. This is an oldie but goodie. I'm going to pile in all those lawmakers, Democrat and Republican,
yes,
who are using the stock market to enrich themselves.
Yes.
This is all just coming off the backs of the American people, regardless of who you voted for. This makes me so angry because I know they're going to get away with it, and I know that they're not going to be held accountable, and I know that no one, eventually the memory, these won't be their highest crimes, essentially, too. Like, whatever Donald Trump's poor legacy is, this won't be a part of it. But the money is a big deal.
We have a clip from Chris Murphy talking about how he would like to crack down on all of this stuff. Calvin, can we play that clip, please?
Today I'm introducing a piece of legislation that would ban any president of the United States, any member of Congress, from issuing a meme coin in order to get paid secretly by people who have business before the federal government. Trump's meme coin, it's the most unethical, the most corrupt thing a president of the United States has ever done. It's essentially a way for any corporate CEO, any Saudi prince, any foreign oligarch who has business before the Trump administration to send Trump money privately, secretly, and then whisper to the Trump administration about how much money they've sent and the favor that they need. This piece of legislation is called the Meme Act. I'm introducing it with Representative Sam Liccardo from California. And this is a chance for Republicans and Democrats to come together and say that none of us, no member of the executive branch, no member of Congress, should be able to profit off of their position. And certainly, we should not allow for these secret ways for very powerful, very rich people to be able to send money to a member of Congress or the President of the United States. This is a common sense bill, and we should just get it done.
It does. Why would this even be controversial? I don't understand. I genuinely do not understand why this would be a bad thing.
I don't know either, but I do say, like, I'm going to request we do that. Calvin, can you play the first 7 seconds of that clip again just right now? I want to just point out something, what he said.
Today I'm introducing a piece of legislation that would ban any president of the United States, any member of Congress, from issuing a meme coin in order to get paid secretly.
Any president.
Anybody.
Like, you have to be so specific as to say this isn't going against Donald Trump, as to say this is for the good of all. He has to say that because no one else is doing it, but we all know what this is about. So if he targets Donald Trump, it's good. Well, no Republican's going to vote for this anyways.
Probably not.
No. I actually looked up Sam Liccardo just to see, wait a minute, did he get a Republican? No, Sam Liccardo was a Democratic California congressman.
But I just found this article, Company Crypto Gone Wrong, Trucking Company Stacking Trump Crypto. Freight Technologies is going to buy $20 million worth of Trump tokens to give them a little bargaining power. So when the tariffs start to hit them and starts to hurt them, apparently this is how you get a carve out for your business.
No, absolutely. I mean,
you either donate, you either have to donate to his inaugural fund.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form. You gotta, it's, you know, what are you gonna do for me, buddy?
And the
what are you gonna do for me?
And the problem, you said 20 million?
Yep.
Then the next guy who comes and be like, hey, man, I want, well, you know, this trucking company gave me 20 million. What are you going to give me? Like,
that's right.
I think that taste needs to be at least 30 million. And I would like to see, like, if I love to put a pin in this company and see where they are in a year. If they're suffering because of all the stuff happening, or, you know, he carves it out. Because as I said last week, this whole tariffs thing now is so inconsistent because they're carving holes out for any group who shows a little fealty to them.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, you know, coffee shops that are on odd numbered streets, they don't have to worry about tariffs because some coffee shop gave them money. And now the trucking company, it's all going to hit. And I wonder if someone can explain this, like if companies or types of groups are cut out, will those burdens be put onto other groups?
Like, oh, well, for sure.
Heavier and heavier. So it's, you know, harder and harder.
You know, small businesses aren't able to afford a $1.5 million gift to Trump's inaugural fund or whatever slush fund he's got going. Yeah. So yeah, they're not good. If you can't pay, you don't play.
Yep.
Ollie from the North Woods, you're going to get the last word right before we go to the break. Ollie, thanks for joining us. What'd you want to say?
Well, real quick, I didn't catch the name of the person who is trying to put that through Congress. And I also think that they need to include the judiciary branch, including the
Supreme Court?
The Supreme Court, Roberts, and all of those who are clearly taking kickbacks and payment from other people.
Yeah, the emoluments clause just seems to have gone whoosh.
Yeah, we don't even bother with that
clause. We don't even talk about it anymore.
It's a word we can't even spell, let alone enforce. So let's not talk about it, Jane.
We'll keep an eye on this. This is an ongoing and developing thing. That was Senator Chris Murphy, by the way, from Connecticut, who is the one who is introducing this measure today. We'll see how far that gets. When we come back, we're going to talk about Real ID, which starts tomorrow. If you haven't gotten it yet, what do you need to take? And be nice to the people at the DOT. I mean it.
Absolutely.
Be nice to those folks. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm, she just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says, Jane
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Cavitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us no matter where you are in the state. WBZH in Hayward, we'd love to hear from you.
Ooh, I love that. It's a good station.
It is a good station, absolutely. You can always join us, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter after the 10:30 news at the bottom of the hour. It's a segment that has turned into audio sorbet, more or less, where we talk about things a little bit lighter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is.
A little cleansing for your ears. For the last half an hour of the show. So we're going to talk about video games. Video games aren't just for kids anymore, Greg Bach. And I would love to know what video games you play, because there are some that I have become addicted to.
Okay. And I feel like I'm going to bring my loser status about video games to the table here. And you're going to be like, oh, you're adorable.
No judgment. But I think we all do that, yeah. And there. I think the assumption in some instances, oh, it's just for kids. Only kids do that. No,
no, not
we
at all.
We play them too.
No, not one iota. Yeah, but it's just I just think about how far. I had a long conversation with a friend of mine on Sunday about video games and how I just don't feel like a real cool boy.
Because you're not playing the cool games?
Not even close.
All right. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the You Shall Not Pass edition. Stay tuned for that. Right now, though, I want to talk about Real ID.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow is the deadline. Starting tomorrow, people 18 and older must have a Real ID compliant driver's license or other TSA-approved ID in order to fly domestically. This is not going overseas. This is not going to Mexico. This is going to Kansas City.
This is flying to Minneapolis.
Yes.
This is
yes. If you do not have the Real ID, and what sets it apart is that little star in the upper right-hand corner, you're going to show up at the airport, and they're going to say, yeah, you can't go.
Nope. And this is my, I mean, and really, tomorrow's the deadline, which I feel like on Thursday, we are going to see a bucket of stories of people losing their minds at the airports because, you know, we've said this before, we have lives.
Yep.
We have things going on.
People are busy.
And I understand why this is not the forefront. This is not a page one above the fold headline.
Right.
But Jane, as we mentioned before, you've had some time.
We have had some time.
Yeah.
This is something they've been talking about since September 11th.
Yes.
Of 2001.
Yes.
So this has been decades in the making, and we don't want you to be taken by surprise. So according to a news release in April, over 64% of Wisconsin residents have a Real ID, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
That's great.
That still leaves, though, about a third of Wisconsinites who do not have a Real ID, and that is going to be a problem starting tomorrow if you want to fly domestically or if you want to get into a federal building.
Yeah, and I'm looking right now, Jane, because so for today, the show notes will have the article we're talking about. It will also have Wisconsin's Real ID FAQs, but I'm also going to attach the FAQ page from the government as well, the federal government, because there are some other forms of documentation you can have. I know it's it can be a military ID. It's basically anything federally issued can be in the replacement
acceptable.
Of a real. Exactly. But most of us don't have those. A lot of us don't have those things.
A lot of people don't have a passport.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. That's the other thing too. Passport works great, but a lot of Americans don't have passports. So this is just, it's not the easy. Well, no, it is the easiest. It's not always easy, but it is the most, I believe, the most convenient way to tackle this problem.
And you have to go to the DMV in person. You can't do this online.
Yeah.
You do have to go to the DMV in order to get a Real ID. It is the same as getting or renewing a regular driver's license. Going to cost you $34.
Mm-hmm.
I just got mine. I did this about 2 weeks ago. I went and got my Real ID, and I just got my license.
Yep.
Most customers, again, will get their new ID within 7 to 10 business days. They will not accept the paper receipt as proof.
Oh, really?
So when I went to the DMV and they took my photo and all that stuff and they printed out a sheet that said, yes, your Real ID is coming, you can't use that.
I didn't know that. Okay.
You cannot use that.
Yeah.
So here's what you need to take with you. You need proof of your name and date of birth.
Yes.
Birth certificate. Proof of legal presence in the U.S., so you can use a bill that comes to your house that has your name on it. Proof of name change. if your name is different than what's on your birth certificate.
Yeah.
Proof of address, social security number. You can also use the DMV's interactive driver's licensing guide for a personal checklist, and you can set up an appointment at the DMV as well.
I didn't know that. That's
you can.
I will give you a fun hack as far as if you need to do this between now and tomorrow, and it'll probably be a lot busier tomorrow. But when I went to get my real ID, I went at like 1:45 in the afternoon on a Tuesday. I was out by 2:05 because the lines are shorter. It's not as busy. I know lunch hour is probably some people's.
Lunch hour is busy.
But folks, I just implore upon you. There's some comments on the live stream saying, I don't need it right now, blah, blah. And that's
great.
Fine if you don't think so. But I guess for me personally, I wanted it just in case. I'm always about just in case. If I need that ID, I actually feel better knowing I have it.
And one other advantage, I guess, you can consider that they don't include in this article, which they really should.
Yeah.
Is you can lie about your weight like I did. 5 pounds.
Dear the government, just I got
it. I cut it. I lessened it by 5 pounds. Come on, tell me you don't do that on your driver's license.
Well, you know, I used to say I was a blonde too, so whatever.
I'm not the only one. Am I the only one?
No.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Starting this Friday, baby, baseball tickets up for grabs. Throughout the baseball season, every Friday, starting this Friday, you want to be listening for a keyword throughout the day, then you can text in using the Civic Media app for a chance to pick up a 4-pack of Brewers tickets. Really nice seats.
Oh, the club level seats are fantastic.
Yeah, they really are fantastic. You're going to have 5 chances to enter either by listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9, our show, Matt Nair on Air from 9 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn 4 to 6, every Friday during this weekly statewide text to win contest, 4-pack of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers kicking off this Friday. If you want to check out all the rules, you can find them on our website at civicmedia.us.
Do you think there's anyone going there? You know what? I want to know the rules.
Trust me, there is. I've been in this business long enough. Yes, there is someone who wants to read the rules.
I'm sorry. You said I can only win once, but it says clearly here, everybody, I'm sorry. Absolutely. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. There's at least a couple.
Actually,
go to civicmedia.us. You can find all the rules right there. Lori from Hayward had a question. We were talking about Real ID, which kicks in tomorrow. So if you don't have it yet, it doesn't mean you can't go get it after tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're planning to fly tomorrow and you don't have it, you're going to run into some problems. Lori asked, what did you have to get to verify your name change? I never changed my name when I got married.
Yeah.
I didn't get married again until I was 42. Until that, at that point, it's like, this is my name.
When you, my wife changed her name when we got married. She actually changed her, she used her middle name for her maiden name for her middle name now. So she changed that.
Yep.
There's documentation, there's court documents. You have to go through a process. So I would say that the final documentation that you were probably given will be the thing. It's got to be official, probably going to have a raised seal on it.
Right.
But honestly, talk to your clerk's office and they will be able to tell you exactly and where you can access that information.
Where you need to get that from.
Yeah.
I don't know if a marriage license is enough.
No, I don't believe that.
I don't think that is.
Because if it's a legal change of name, that's a different
thing.
It doesn't legally change your name. It just says that you are married.
Okay. Again, just the heads up. Mm-hmm. As of tomorrow.
We warned you.
You have to have a real ID with that little star up in the right-hand corner. Yeah. And don't forget to be an organ donor.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a little check there. There's a little check on the back, and all you have to do is sign it and date it. And so please be an organ donor if you think about it.
Yeah.
You're not going to need them. Here's the question I wanted to ask. We were kicking this around before the show.
Yeah.
What video games do people play?
Mm-hmm.
855-752-4842. No judgment whatsoever. I'm just curious. If I'm 65, I play video games.
Mm-hmm.
I play games primarily on my tablet.
Yeah.
I don't do it on my phone so much.
Okay.
But definitely on my tablet. And there's one game I burned hours, hours of my life.
Yeah.
On this video game.
Now, I want to give some context. One of the things that really I'm going to enjoy about this conversation is the fact that you talked about that. What's the name of this game?
It's called House of Da Vinci.
House of Da Vinci.
Yes.
And I'm very familiar with a lot of mobile games now. If you have any, you get advertisements for them all the time.
Yeah.
When you said the name, Sweet Cal B goes to his computer to look it up, and the level of respect you got from him was insanity.
Did I surprise you, Calvin, that I played House of Da Vinci?
Well, I had never heard of it, but when I looked it up, I was surprised because I don't mean to sound disparaging to mobile games, but it's a real video game that she had to install on her computer, and it looks pretty intensive.
It is. It's fantastic. It's a 3D game, and it's all about solving puzzles.
Yeah.
And about your power of observation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to touch everything to see if it moves, and you have to, slide things and move things. And there are three versions of it. There's a fourth one coming out. I have all three. And it's so hard.
Yeah.
Some of the puzzles are so, because they will give you so many hints.
Yeah.
And then it stops with the hints. And it's like, well, now I'm stuck. There's actually tutorials on YouTube.
Oh.
That will take you through the entire game.
I used to play, I cannot remember the name of this, but it was essentially a game where you had to move blocks to make it through the next level. And I got so into it, and I would find myself stuck on certain levels. This was a mobile game.
Okay.
And I had played on my iPad at the time. And I would, you can find, not cheat codes, but yeah, you go to YouTube and people will play. I would type in the name of the game and the level, and they would have to say, so here's how you do it. And I always felt like I was cheating when did that. I wanted to find, but those games are so intense, and you look down, you're like, oh, it's 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm gonna play this for an hour. You're like, oh, it's dark.
Oh yes. I've burned 4 hours on that thing at a crack. My husband will come into the kitchen on a Saturday afternoon. Is like, are you all right? It's like, I'm fine.
No, I'm not
on
all
level
right.
12. Don't bother me right now.
It was just the amount of shock and awe from Calvin. He was like, this is a real video game. Because I also play mobile games myself. I have a variety of stupid little games. And they are like,
there's nothing wrong with that, though.
No, there's nothing. But like, I'm not sitting there intensely devoting hours at a time. I play a game called Cup Heroes. It is, and Calvin's like, what is it about? And when I explained it out loud, I'm like, this is made for insane people.
What is Cup Heroes?
It is literally a game where you have a little warrior, and the little warrior, and you don't even control the battle. The little warrior just destroys their enemies, and as you destroy an enemy, you get a ping pong ball. You collect enough ping pong balls, and then you send it through a maze, like a puzzle, and it multiplies the amount you have, and then you use all those ping pong balls to upgrade yourself. That's the whole game.
It's just to upgrade.
Yeah, it's just to upgrade. And I can spend, I think I spent 90 minutes playing that game once. And that's not a 90-minute game, Jane. A puzzle game, I can see 4 hours. This is not a 90-minute game.
855-752-4842. What video games do you play? What games do you play on your phone? What games do you play on your tablet? Games, they're not just for kids anymore.
No.
Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us. What are you playing on your phone or your tablet?
Good morning. Well, I actually use my PC on it, my laptop. But I play two types of games. One of them is an online game called Forge of Empires, which is it's basically you start out in the Stone Age and you work your way up to more science fiction-y ages, and you build a city, and the city has different buildings that allow you to do, you know, various things. You can get different supplies and goods and build a stronger city. You can generate troops to fight. There's a battle mode that you can get into. It's a complex game, and I've probably been on it for the last 4 or 5 years. Probably started it around the time COVID.
There it is.
Yeah, for sure.
I was spending a lot of time sitting around.
What is the name of the Jack? What is the name of the game?
It's called Forge of Empires.
Forge of Empires. I'm going to look for that because that sounds. I don't want to shoot things.
Yeah.
That just doesn't do it for me, shooting gargoyles and whatever. I don't want to just shoot at things.
Have you ever played the classic Wolfenstein 3D from the 90s, Jane?
No.
You get to hunt Nazis. It's amazing.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate you checking in. 855-752-4842. Cassandra on the live stream with two young boys. We're playing in the Nintendo Switch all the time.
Yeah.
Mario Kart, Mario Party, Mario Brothers, Super Smash, etc. We used to do drunk driving in college with Mario Kart.
Welcome to Wisconsin. Yeah, baby.
That's so fitting.
I will say this. I own a Samsung TV, and Samsung, you can download Xbox, an app onto your phone, and you can actually play it. One of the things is I don't want to spend $500 on a console.
For a console, yeah.
But if I buy a controller and I just Bluetooth it to my TV, I kind of want to get into video games because I feel like I played Atari and I played classic NES, and that's kind of where I stopped. But since then, I mean, it's the amount of consoles that are out there nowadays and the level of play there is, you know, I mean, we talked about this before. Like, I have friends who have put hundreds of hours into games. They'll play the entire game and they'll start over and be like, well, I wanted to try from this point of view now.
Wow.
And so, like, I feel like I'm missing on something because some of my friends are, like, talking about video games and I'm literally, like,
lost.
I'm thinking about birds.
Oh my God, you're me. Hey, Calvin, what are you playing these days as our resident young person?
Well, the most recent, I was playing The Witcher 3 for a while, which is a story-driven game.
Now that I would probably like.
Yeah, you fight things though. So
I have to fight things. I don't want to fight
things. Yeah, I kind of got bored of it in the second act. Don't let fans of the game let me hear me say that because it's one of the most well-acclaimed video games of all time. And then I'm playing more of like an online cooperative game called Monster Hunter Wilds, where you use giant swords to fight giant monsters.
I like.
Why
how
would
just,
you use a small sword to fight a giant monster?
I just love how there was like you use big swords to fight big monsters. Like as you were saying, you're like, oh, what am I doing with my life? No, I think that's great, and that's the other thing too is I feel like I could play a video game for an hour or two, or I could watch a television show that I've watched 30 times.
That's true. And depending upon the game, again, what I like about this House of Da Vinci is it really makes you think.
Yeah.
It's about solving puzzles. It can be very, very complicated. And sometimes when I have to cheat and I go to the YouTube tutorial, it's like, you're an idiot.
No, you're not an idiot. You're using the resources available, Jane. I will, and I want to say this really quick. One of the things, and I don't like this, on mobile games is they try to push the notion that some of these games are good for your brain. Games can be, like, puzzle games can be good for your brain, but there's no medical accuracy to that statement. My brother-in-law is a neurological oncologist, and I have asked him once, and he goes, look, it's good to keep your brain sharp, and it's good to play these games, but these will not help you get smarter. They will not keep you from aging. They will not do these things they're telling you to do. And I really think it's disingenuous because I have to imagine when you're older, there's a lot of folks out there who want to be sharper.
Well, you want to stay sharp.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when they see that, like, oh, I'll just play this game, and I'll stay sharp. No. That's not,
it's a little more complicated.
There are more
than
exercises
that.
Involved.
855-752-4842. We got about 2 minutes left. Chris from Richland Center. Good morning, Chris. What video games are you playing?
Hey, so on my phone, I have one game that I found probably about a year ago, and I've been playing it quite a bit, and I absolutely love it. It's called Wings of Heroes.
Okay.
It's basically a World War II era fighter plane game. And as you progress, you open up bigger and more planes, but they're actually historically accurate planes, and you upgrade them and they get better. And then there's different modes where it's like dogfight or where you got to like bomb and control areas on the ground and fight in the air. So it's a lot of fun.
But I love that there's actually an historical element to that. That's pretty cool, Chris.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about it is you actually get to see what some of those planes look like,
right,
and read about them a little bit.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you so much. And David Kreshner is going to have the last word. I play a variety of strategy and role-playing games. Currently, my big one is Elder Scroll Oblivion's recent remaster. I'm going to write that down.
There you go.
One of my 626 Steam games. Thank you, David, for that. Appreciate it. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the You Shall Not Pass edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, wherever you are in the state. Perhaps you're in Butternut.
Butternut.
Near Park Falls. You can always call or text and join the conversation at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We did have a bunch of texts come in about flying tomorrow. You can fly with your passport.
Yes.
If you don't have a real ID yet. I don't want you to think that if you have a passport, you're not going to be able to use it.
Yeah.
For domestic flights, you can fly with a passport if you don't have a real ID. But the real ID with that little star in the right-hand corner, that kicks in tomorrow. Just want to make you aware.
And it's not just flying, folks.
Federal buildings as well.
You get into a federal building, you can't just have a regular driver's license.
Exactly. They're going to look for that real ID. Coming up at the show tomorrow, we have a busy show. Corrine Hendrickson with the Main Street Alliance, and she's also a daycare provider here in Wisconsin. She's been on the show numerous times. She's going to join us to talk about an event coming up next week to highlight, again, the critical role that childcare plays. It's a big part of our economy and what helps our economy work.
Yep.
Is childcare. So we're going to talk to Corrine about that. And Darren Van Ruden will be here, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, find out what is going on with Wisconsin farmers. He's actually going to be in D.C. and checking in with us from D.C. tomorrow.
Yep, we have Darren Van Ruden on every single month to give us an update on what's happening out there in the farms of Wisconsin and beyond. And he's actually in D.C. for an event with the union. And so he'll be talking about that as well. And other topics, but we love having him on the show.
We do. Absolutely. It's a great, great perspective. All right, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from ABC News, Charlotte Graham McLay with the byline. The headline reads, a giant sculpture of Gandalf riding an eagle leaves Wellington Airport for good.
Boo!
Sculptures of two giant eagles from the Lord of the Rings movies will be removed from New Zealand's Wellington Airport this month after looming over travelers for the last 12 years. For more than a decade, passengers at New Zealand's Wellington have gotten on flights below the figures of those two giant hovering eagles from the movies, one with Gandalf on top. These are pretty hefty. These are hefty eagles.
Yeah.
With 50-foot wingspans weighing 2,600 pounds each.
Dang.
The sculptures have delighted tourists and frightened children since 2013. There was one incident with one of these Jigundo eagles. One became unmoored from its fixings during an earthquake in 2016. It fell onto the terminal below. Amazingly, no one was hurt considering this thing weighed 2,600 pounds.
That is, whew.
But this month, the Eagles will be departing for good. Officials say it's been quite a Lord of the Rings heavy storytelling theme here in the airport. Now we're looking to change that to something new.
What else?
I don't know. Not everybody is happy. Traveler Verity Johnson says this breaks my heart. She's loved the sculptures since she was a kid. Please, please reconsider. Another airport visitor, Michael Parks, said taking them away is un-New Zealand-like.
New Zealand has built a modern economy on the Lord of the Rings.
Like, seriously.
And I hope then at least there's going to be something there that commemorates the fact that, like, Peter Jackson picked this area to film all of these films, to pump jobs into the system and really give it, like, you know, some tourist vibe. Like,
it's just a friendly thing.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I just don't understand why they would do this.
They hope that the creatures will eventually find a home in a museum rather than just shove them into storage. That would be really unfortunate. One airport official says it's been a spectacular thing for little kids to see. Even old grizzled businessmen will pull out their phones and take a quick photo with the giant eagles. It's not all going away. Mm-hmm. An enormous sculpture of the Hobbit's dragon, Smaug, still overlooks check-in counters.
Okay.
Why you can keep Smaug and not keep the eagles is I don't understand.
I know what Smaug is. I know what Smaug does. But I feel like Gandalf is more recognizable. And also, Gandalf riding an eagle. I mean, that's just, it doesn't get more American than that. Are you kidding me? But yeah, I hope, they can put these out on online auction and sell them in 20 minutes.
Oh, can you imagine?
For a lot of money.
Well,
too.
And you just got to have a lot of room and figure out how you're going to transport the thing. We would like to see them stay.
I love to
which
see
is why it came under Tisbet.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, we think this should, we believe the removal should not be
should
a
not
thing.
Be a thing. Exactly. But if you get a chance, fly into Wellington in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Your last chance to see Gandalf riding an eagle at the Wellington Airport. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we said, tomorrow is Wednesday. Darren Von Ruden will be here ahead of the Wisconsin Farm
Union.
Union. Thank you, Lana. Drawing a blank there, thinking about video games now. Got diverted.
You're like thinking about this puzzle game. I figured out how to solve level 48.
I know what I'm going to do when I get off of work. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today. Get outside. It's beautiful.
Yes.
And you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.